Open your Bibles to Galatians, believe it or not. What's interesting to me is that this evening's message is almost the counterbalance to this morning's message.
Good.
He loves you. Okay, we're going to talk about He loves you. We're going to talk about God's grace, God's unmerited favor. And He loves you. Praise God.
Thank you, Gabby.
Hallelujah. I kept hearing in my, just praying this afternoon, I do a lot of resting, to be honest with you, in the afternoons, but I've learned to keep that ear open, you know, and get His direction for the service. And I kept hearing this phrase, by the law. By the law. That's all I heard. By the law. And I knew it had to, in reference to Galatians. So I just did a Bible search, you know, just those three words, by the law. And there's four verses in Galatians that exactly use those three words, by the law. And I believe this morning's message had to do with enduring persecution and how really, if we're going to follow Christ, how we're supposed to act and pray for our enemies and that type of thing. You see, right on the other hand, people get confused at the prayer center, especially, and it takes a while to really start understanding this message. Because we are encouraging people to pray and meditate the Word and fasting. And if you're not careful, I'll tell you, works come so naturally, a works mentality to human beings, you know. And pretty soon, and I think it's because we all grew up in families, we all grew up trying to please our parents. And so we get this feeling like, well, if I'm performing good, you know, then that's good today. But if I'm really a bad kid today, then that's how we all grew up, okay. But see, really, biblical, scriptural righteousness, real righteousness, is not based on our performance at all. It's really not. Now, let's look at those four scriptures. The first one is Galatians 2:21. Galatians 2:21. And really, this is at the end of where Paul is talking about that time that he had to rebuke Peter. Because Peter, while he was just among the Gentiles, and James and the rest of the uppity-ups, those that seemed to be somewhat among them, while they were not there, Peter was living like the Gentiles. Because he knew at this point that all meats are clean, that all foods, there's no such thing as the dietary laws and all that from the Old Testament anymore. Jesus had purged and cleansed all foods. But then when those from Jerusalem came, well, here, we'll just read it so you can see it. Galatians 2:11. We'll back up here a little bit. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Now, y'all know under the law, that's not allowed. Not only can you not eat with the Gentiles, you probably can't eat what the Gentiles are eating. So Dave, when he teaches on this, you know, he goes, well, you know, Peter was right there eating the barbecued pork ribs right along with the rest of them. And, you know, I don't know if it was that far, but anyway. But when they were come, in other words, these from James, from Jerusalem, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews, see, they were watching Peter. The other Jews, they dissembled likewise with him. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, okay, I didn't even realize we were going to get into this, but now I see what, I know some messages that are coming. And I really, the Lord's kind of laid a trap for me right here. I was only looking at these four verses. Okay, He lays a good trap for you. It's because He's getting your mind going down a certain place. See, we think, well, love, you know, and walking in love. And Paul wrote most of these letters that we study about love. How did Paul do it? Did he get him in private? You know, how did he rebuke Peter? To his face, and he did it in front of them all. So when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, see, that's leading up to his famous verse that everybody quotes, Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I died when he died. That means so much more to me after our study last year in Ephesians. The only messages I ever knew out of this, it all had to do with crucifying the flesh. And there's not, you know, I mean, there's good things you can teach out of that. That's not really what he's saying. He's going, I died to the species of Adam when Christ died. When he died, it was the end of the world for the whole species of Adam. And I'm crucified with him. I don't even belong to that species anymore. Now there is a new species of human on the earth. Christ is the progenitor of that species. And I am to, the only thing that matters, are you found in Adam or are you in Christ? That's the only thing that matters. That's the faith that justifies you now. Not keeping the law, but have you put your total trust in him who kept the law? See? So that leads up to that famous verse, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I died with him. I died to the whole human race. I died to the world. I died to the law. I died. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, verse 21 is the verse I was wanting to get to in the beginning. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How many of you saw The Passion of the Christ, that movie, when it came out? It's gruesome, is it not? I mean, you know, you're like, okay, let's speed this up. Let's get to the end of this. I mean, it was so bad. It probably was worse, I think, because it doesn't even, that movie didn't depict how he bore our sicknesses. It doesn't show any of that. You know, darkness came upon the earth. They couldn't really see what all happened to him. But not only did he take those stripes, as brutal as that was, he bore our sicknesses, it says. There's no telling. I know when Isaiah saw it in the Spirit prophesying, he said, what I saw, he didn't even look like a man anymore. He had like a piece of meat hanging up there. You couldn't tell. Is it a man? Is it a deer? What is that? You know? Well, one thing's for sure. If it was possible for a man to become righteous, even one, by keeping the law, then Jesus did all of that for nothing. Look at your Bible again. Is that not what it says? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Look at somebody and say, that's it. That's the end. I'm not about to establish my own righteousness no more. All my righteousness is based on His work and not mine. Now see, that doesn't take away from the messages that He's been bringing through me about God's purpose. We looked at that in Romans chapter 8. God's purpose, that He made the decision before the foundation of the world that everybody who believes in Him would be conformed to that same image. Well, that's the message of the prayer center. We are trying to, well, turn ourselves over to the potter. We're the clay. He's the potter. I know my righteousness doesn't... Help me say this in plain English, God. You know, sometimes on the days when I did a really bad job, the days when I did a really bad job of being very Christ-like. Now, I know that's hard for some of you to believe that I would have days like that. I'm joking. some of those days I've had him bless me. I know it was him. What I mean is, some kind of thing I'd been believing for would manifest on that day. Feel like a slimy dog worm. I know I haven't been acting right. I know I haven't been doing right. And something I've been standing for a while, that's the day that it would manifest. Almost like to prove the point to me, it's not based on your righteousness. See? But it's so easy to slip in, because we do talk about doing things. We talk about prayer, and we talk about meditation of the Word. We talk about fasting. We talk about... Well, people start thinking that we're talking about earning some kind of blessing from God. You can't do that. If righteousness comes by the law, or let's say it this way, if righteousness, right standing with God, comes by your performance, then Christ died in vain. It doesn't come by that. But right on the other hand, I know He loves me too much to leave me like I am. Everyone say, thank God for that. Say, don't leave Gary the way he is. Please, God, don't leave Gary the way he is. But there's things I can do that allows him, can I say, more rapid access to my life. Well, I'd really like for it not to take the next 30 years. You know? 70, 80, 90. I'd really not like that. I'd like for it to happen faster. So what we're really talking about is taking the authority of your life, which He is never going to violate your free will, but take the authority at your own volition, at your discretion, and say, have your way with me. Have your way with me. I'm going to get in the Word. And somebody recently sent me a book, and I know they meant well. They wrote, I'm not going to tell you about the book before or after the service, but... And it's a scholar. I know who this guy is. He's from the denomination that I grew up in. He's already gone on to be with the Lord quite a few years ago. He's one of those guys. His name, and then it's got PhD and a whole bunch of other letters behind it and all of that. And it's a real scholarly work on why there is no charismatic gifts today. Yeah, no tongues, no prophecy, no anything. You know, it's all the stuff I grew up with. And you ought to see the envelope that this come in. This guy had written. And if you're listening to this tape, we're praying for you. You're not my enemy. But he had written with a magic marker all these warnings from Scripture. He who is often reproved and hardens his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. And you go, God. But I start reading it. I read parts of it, you know. And I'm going, this is written for all... I'll tell you what man's intellect is like. Man's intellect without God. This is obviously a very intelligent man according to human standards. But as I read it, it's like an aborigine, someone, you know, who's never seen an airplane, who had PhDs behind his name when it comes to aborigine stuff. He knows all about aborigine, you know, where to get the plants to eat and to feed. And he knows everything about his culture. He didn't know anything about airplanes. And he writes a book, Why It's Impossible for a Man to Fly, and then send it to somebody who's been on 1,000 flights. And I'm going, I don't care how scholarly you are, sir, you're ignorant concerning airplanes. Well, man's intellect is ignorant concerning God's Spirit. It's a whole realm, it's a whole world that you know nothing about. And it's really dangerous. I mean, the reason you can pick up your yellow pages and look under churches and find God knows how many different flavors. Worse than Baskin-Robbins, you know. More flavors than that. The reason is because... The whole reason for that is man trying to figure out God's Word with man's intellect. Without the help of the Holy Ghost. Well, let's get on to our second verse. That's Galatians 3, verse 11. Galatians 3, verse 11. Again, this is the phrase, by the law... four verses that I found in Galatians. So Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? Let me ask you, see, faith in what? He told you earlier in in that verses we looked at earlier. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ is really what he's talking about. The just shall live by faith. There was one who kept the law. He died in my place. My faith is in him. He was made sin with my sin, that I could be made righteous with his righteousness. Righteousness doesn't come by you trying to keep the law. Now, you preach along this line, and sure enough, then you're going to start getting the same kind of accusations that Paul was getting. And that's in Romans 6. Well, what then? Shall we just sin? Shall we just sin? If that's the way it is, Brother Gary, are you saying? And what does he say? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin continue to live any longer therein? See, he gave us a new nature. But even as you're struggling, maybe you're not, even as Gary struggles to allow that new nature to dominate my life, I miss it a lot. And but thank God my righteousness still then does not depend on my ability to keep the law. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. That's something Adam did not have. Thank God for the blood that's on that mercy seat. Thank God for the advocacy. That's the lawyer. You got a lawyer in heaven. And your daddy's the judge. That's the truth. You're the apple of his eye. I really challenge you guys to bring a railing accusation against Lily to me. Now, does she mess up? Oh, all the time. Is she the apple of her granddaddy's eye? You better believe it, and you better be careful how you deal with her. Okay. It's family. Now, see, let's go on a few more verses. I don't anymore. I just can't hardly lift just one verse out. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You can in the sight of man, by the way. Oh, yeah, Mr. Squeaky Clean. Hey, Andrew Womack. Do y'all know who Andrew Womack is? I mean, I like Andrew, you know. He says he grew up so squeaky clean, he literally squeaked when he walked. He said, I never smoked, I never drank, I never kissed a girl till I got married. He just didn't do it. You know, he was raised in a real... And he says, you know what? I'd go out and lay and pray for the sick and lay hands on them. And he said, it was the deadest thing you ever saw in your life. Why? Righteousness doesn't come by that. Now, God appreciates that. God our Father appreciates when we walk upright and holy. But the gospel is, the power is on you because of God's grace, not because you earned something from Him. You got that? So he says, you know, I had to learn that it's all in the name of Jesus, no matter how clean I am. Anyway, all right. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. See, the law is based on performance. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Boy, we could go on with this whole chapter here. All right, let's go on. Two more verses. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now I want you to get the picture. Here, who's making the promise? God. Two people. To Abraham and to his seed. You got God the Father, one party here, making promise to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. Okay? And he saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise is from God the Father to Abraham, but really through Abraham to God the Son. You got that? God the Father, this covenant is God the Father to God the Son. I did a service one of them last year, and the title of it is called The Unbreakable Covenant. If you weren't here or did not hear that message, you need to go hear it. How can God still bless you on your worst day? It's the unbreakable covenant. This one is between God the Father, God the Son. You can't break it. You can remove yourself from it, but you can't break it. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, so we don't do this whole chapter. Come on down to verse 29. If you be Christ's. Now see, that's all that matters. Are you in Abraham or are you in Christ? If you are a Christian, if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's, notice, seed, singular. Singular. It's as though you were the seed. You're not. But you're in the... It's exactly the counterpart to Adam. When Adam sinned, all who were in Adam were guilty. And all were born with that nature. Now, all who are in Christ, all are righteous. And you all have His nature. And the promises are to you singular, as if you're the only one. That'll mess with your head now. In a good way, you need to meditate on that. Just what is not possible if God calls you righteous? If whenever the devil comes to accuse you, like I would stand in front of Lily if some enemy was coming, and I said, well, you're going to get to her, you're going to come through Pappy first. Come through Grandpa first. You know, that's the way God is with you if we just knew it. No, it's my righteousness. This one has my righteousness. Who's going to bring an accusation? That's why Paul says in Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? God, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. I need my coffee mug. All right, let's go on. Galatians 3:21. We may have... Is the law then against the promises of God? Well, God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. There's that phrase, by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I still remember that billboard that I saw going to Houston years ago, and they'd have it about every 20 miles. They'd have all these... this billboard with all these different ethnic faces, you know, black and white and slanty-eyed, round-eyed, and yellow skin, and, you know, trying to represent all the different ethnic, all the different groups, races, whatever, people of the world, you know. And the caption was, we are all the children of God. And, you know, it sounds so right if you don't think about that, you know, sounds so right. But, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we are all God's creation. But you're His child by faith in Christ Jesus. What we mean by that, there's only one way to be born of His Spirit. And that's to be born again by faith in Christ Jesus. The whole world is His creation and He's trying to save them all. But His children are the ones that are born of His own Spirit. And the only ones that have that, you got to believe. You got to be a believer, be born again. Hallelujah. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. By the way, sometime in your life you may be challenged by certain denomination which believes you have to be water baptized or you can't be saved. And they'll take that verse, you know, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And to them there's only one kind of baptism, and that's water baptism, see. And it's a major denomination. There's probably a church with it. That denomination probably has a church building probably within 5 miles of your home, because there's a lot of them. That is a same Judaizing type spirit that was prevalent then. It's Christ plus something. The type of baptism Jesus was talking about, he that believes and is baptized, he was talking about this baptism, baptized into Christ, no longer in Adam, now you are in Christ. That's the baptism he's talking about. If water baptism is required, then the thief on the cross did not make it. But he did make it. That's good stuff, Brother Gary. Keep preaching. I think I will. Hallelujah. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one. There's that seed again. One. You are all one. The promise was to Abraham and to Christ, his seed. And if you be Christ, you are Abraham. Or it says it in the next verse. If you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed. Notice, singular. That promise is to you. And you are an heir according to that promise. And the law, that was the whole point was, that promise was 430 years before the law. And the law can't add to it. The law can't take away from it. What matters is that you be found. See, Paul's talking about that same thing in Philippians. I'm doing pretty good. Hold your place there. We're coming back, but go to Philippians chapter 3. Paul, he goes on here. He starts talking about if anybody has a right to the blessings of God based on anything in the flesh, it would be him. So he starts off here talking in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." That concision is the Judaizers. "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, that's kind of the message tonight. Don't have any confidence in your works. Nothing about this message is talking about being justified before God by your works. You're justified by His works. You're His child by His... I'm O.R. Carpenter's son by His works, not mine. I had nothing to do with it. Okay? I had nothing to do with it. But I am an heir. You got that? If you're Christ, you're the heir. You're an heir of God. He did all the work. It's not based on your performance. Anyway, that might help somebody. Have to. He says, "We have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinks that he has, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more." In other words, okay, we're compare you and me, and we'll see who has more brownie points with God. Who's got the most credentials here? So he starts listing his. Okay, if I was going to go by that, he says, "I was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." That's the ones everybody looked to for the standard of righteousness. Whoa, those Pharisees, man, they know the law. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." That doesn't mean, we already read, nobody can perfectly keep the law, but boy, he tried. And if he did fall short, there's an appropriate sacrifice, and he would be sure and offer that. So according to the law, blameless. He says, so if anyone was ever going to trust in their pedigree, their performance, he said, man, I'm right up there with anybody. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ," and here it is, "and be found in Him." That's the only thing that matters. Are you in Him? Are you a believer? Are you in Adam still, or are you in Christ? That's what matters. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. There it is again. He's not looking to the law anymore for his righteousness, one way or the other. "But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." How do you know you are righteous? Quiet in here. It is by faith in the finished work of Jesus. My dad doesn't have a whole lot of Bible education. He doesn't really have a whole lot of any kind of education. He had to quit school in the eighth grade and go help with the farm. But after I really got saved, now I was concerned about my daddy. I wasn't concerned about my mama. Concerned about my daddy. So I just flat asked him. He was sitting on the couch. I remember it. I walked in. I said, "Daddy, how are you planning on getting to heaven?" He said, "By the blood of Jesus and no other way." Good answer, Daddy. Hallelujah. That's a good answer, man. I love it. And there are days that if I was going to go by my daddy's performance, whoa, dude, I don't know, man. Didn't seem a whole lot of Christ-likeness that day. Okay? That doesn't mean nothing. That man is going to heaven. He didn't have the same advantage you and I have. He didn't get to hear this message. He was kept. In fact, the church he grew up in told him there wasn't any baptism in the Holy Ghost. He never did get baptized in the Holy Ghost. They kept him away from the very teacher and trainer and tutor that God has sent. But still, even to this day now, how are you going to get to heaven? By the blood of Jesus and no other way. He understands it's not based on his righteousness. It's based on the righteousness of Christ, which has been freely given to you. On Lily's worst day, she is my granddaughter, and you better watch how you treat her. And that's God's attitude towards us, little child of His. And He does appreciate it now. I want Lily to go to school, and I want her to grow up. I want her to quit making poopies in the diapers. I want her to keep pooping just in the, you know, just... I want her to go to the toilet. You know, she's old enough now. She's almost three, and she's doing pretty good. We're almost through with the diapers now, thank God, most of the time, you know. But I'm hoping she's not doing that when she's 30. See? You know? Well, it's maturing, it's growing up, but don't ever let the devil start making you think you don't deserve God's blessing today. You do deserve God's blessing. Why? Because Jesus bought it for you. I hope this is being clear. But it's real clear right after you hear it preached. You know, that's why you have to cycle back around and preach this, because it's against the whole world. I mean, the whole world, you get what you earn, you know. But right after it's preached, you do pretty good. I notice I do pretty good when I hear it. Once. But then, boy, because you get beat up by your own failings, pretty soon your mind will just fall back into the natural if you're not careful. And you don't even think you're worthy of God's blessings anymore. You are worthy by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, one more. Galatians 5, verse 4. I can't read that one without starting with verse 1. Am I still over in Philippians? We're back to Galatians now, chapter 5. Actually, let's read the verse and then we'll back up. It's verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. If you go back, see, that's the whole message of Hebrews, really. If you go back, if you turn away from Christ and start thinking that your justification is based on your performance of the law, you've fallen from grace. It's worse than that. Back up to verse 1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And if you backed up here, I mean, it's just so clear. He's talking about the law. The Judaizers have come and are trying to put these people back under the law. He says, now don't you do it. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, what he means by that, in our culture today, nearly all young males are circumcised for health reasons. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, if you allow yourself to be circumcised because you're thinking that's necessary in addition to the finished work of Jesus Christ to be accepted by God, if you add a work and you put your faith in that work instead of His finished work, Christ will profit you nothing. Right there, I want to come against every tithing message, every sowing and reaping message, Every one of them, where they tell you you're a God robber if you don't tithe, that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That's under the old covenant. It's part of the law. Abraham tithed 430 years before the law. He did it as a free will offering. He was not required to do it at all. And actually, he didn't tithe from his personal income at all. It was the spoils of war. Don't let them trick you to fill up their coffers. Okay? Some of them are doing it knowingly, and some of them are doing it not knowingly. But the end result, they're putting people back under the law. Your Father will bless you just if you ask Him. It's a family. You're not in a religion. We had Cole's birthday yesterday. It's actually today, but we celebrated it yesterday. Cole, who's seven, just turned seven. Now, before we let him open any presents, we went back day by day through the year. Okay, now, we were going to give you this present, but on that day, you didn't clean up your room, so we're taking away that present. And on such and such a day, you know, you answered back to your daddy in a non-hard, you know, in a non-good way. So we did have this present for you on that day, but now that one's gone. Do y'all think that's the way it was? It's almost scary how good that birthday was for them. You know, I mean, he just opened presents, and we had cake, and they had it at a sport where you play miniature golf. Gary, did you stay for the miniature golf? You've got to be kidding. It was 100 degrees. But we stayed and had... What I'm trying to get at, it's his... We all rejoiced because Cole is in the family. Cole is in the family. He's 7 years old. We're going to celebrate. Had nothing really to do with his performance at all. Why is he in the family? That had nothing to do with his performance either. That was due to the work of somebody else. I'm going to read this all again. We're probably going to finish down here at verse 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Quit. Now, beyond that, quit being performance-minded. Quit thinking God, you know, you're accepted in the Beloved on the day when you act right, and you're not accepted in the Beloved on the day when you don't. You're accepted anyway. Now, there's days when your righteousness is more manifested maybe than other days. We're certainly that way with Cole and Lily. Certainly that way with me. And it's almost like God at times has gone out of His way trying to show me that He would manifest a blessing that I've been standing for a long time on the day when I was at my worst. Trying to get it across to me, it's not based on your righteousness, boy. It's based on the finished work of my Son. You're my child. I love you. I want to bless you. I want to help you, and I'll help you quit messing up if you'll let me. Sounds like a family to me. See? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised for that reason, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. So you can't just tithe and not do the rest of it. If you're going to do that based on the law, you got to do the whole law. If you do anything based on the law, you got to do the whole law. You can't pick and choose, but that's what they do all the time. If you're going to really do it, you've got to really do it, you know. Anyway. So Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, here it is, but faith which worketh by love. Isn't it interesting that the last limb, the one that Dave's on now, and I'm sure there's not another one, the last limb is love. Because love is God. And faith works by love. The very faith that we live by is based on the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Faith in that is what makes you His child and what makes you accepted in the Beloved. Yeah, we're trying to grow up. Is that okay with you? That doesn't affect His love for you. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Quit letting the devil beat you up based on performance. And quit letting it rob you of your faith. Lily's my child, or grandchild. Lily's my granddaughter on her best day. She is my granddaughter on her worst day, and you better be careful how you deal with her. You're going to find out. She has a defender.
So do you.
Previews of coming attractions on worship in Philippians 3. Did y'all catch that? We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Did you notice that? Nobody in the Old Testament, no matter how much they love God, worship God in the Spirit, even though you, in their writings they thought they did. But Paul is writing it, making it very clear. Down through the ages, God was waiting for a new species of person who had the capacity to worship Him out of the new nature. A people born of His own Spirit that would worship Him. More coming on that later. Still learning a lot on that one. Hallelujah. Okay.